Hey, this is Nathan Motes, and you're listening to the Sell Us Out podcast.
Simosh, bending one for Torres. Eusebio. Oh, my word! Have you ever seen anything like that?
Bem jogado por Simão. A passar por dois adversários, Simão. A tentar oferecer o golo, Figo. E a bola, golo! O golo de Figo!
Rui Costa vai, Rui Costa já acreditou. Vai tirar para o golo, atira o golo!
And we welcome you to episode number 40 of the Seleção podcast, a proud partner of Portugal.net. My name is Danny Pinto. I am your host. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. As yes, we are back. First matches of 2021. We are so excited to have you guys along for the ride as our beloved Seleção are in World Cup qualifying as they try to get to Qatar next winter, of all things, a World Cup in the winter. But that's what we have on the horizon as the Seleção will have three upcoming qualifiers versus Azerbaijan, Serbia, and Luxembourg. We'll get into that in just a bit. But we're just so happy to have you guys back on this last song. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. As yeah, it is. It's been a few months. You know, when there's a dead season with this last song, we try to get stay in touch with you guys on our social media and everything. But in terms of episodes, we. I'll get a little bit more creative going forward. Trying to get you guys. More involved as well, but we're just happy to have you guys back. So a lot to go over in this episode. Obviously, three matches for World Cup qualifying. Fernando Santos named the roster for those matches last week. We'll also catch you up on the actual draw that happened in December to get these matches on the schedule, as well as the schedule for 2021. And yeah, just a lot of other things. We'll break down the roster here with Nathan Motes of Portugal.net. He was kind enough to spend some time with us and give us his thoughts on the team. And yeah, we'll get to that and a whole lot more. But first off, as always, you can connect with us, I should say, on the show, SeleçãoPod.com. We have some updates for you on the site that I'll go over in just a couple of minutes here. But SeleçãoPod.com. You can follow us on Twitter and on Instagram at SeleçãoPod. Facebook.com/SeleçãoPod is our Facebook page. Go ahead and like and share that with your friends. And you can always email the show, SeleçãoPod@gmail.com. You can subscribe to us and like us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, anywhere that you are listening to this show. Search the Seleção Podcast. And we are right in your ears, ready for your listening enjoyment. I talked about briefly about the site. The site is brand new. We've redesigned the site. I think it's much easier to navigate now. It's a cleaner look. We did a little bit of tinkering during the break with the website, and I think it looks really good. Again, a lot more manageable to navigate. Easier features to get to. If you look at our navigation bar, we have it all broken out for you. It's easier to connect with us via the email link that we have there, or there is a voicemail link on the site. So if you want to click on that, you could then record a message to us, and maybe we can start doing that and incorporating those into the show. But we're real excited about the site, the way it looks, the way it's going to be easier to interact with us, a higher level of interaction now with the audio portion, and again we're still trying to navigate the waters of YouTube as well. I'm still working on that, but It's looking a lot better, a lot cleaner, and I just think it looks great, and again a lot easier to navigate, and a great interaction there for you as well. The possibilities there are much better than the old site, so we're very, very excited about that. So that's the business end on my end for that. As for the Slesson, let's first go to the draw that sets up these World Cup qualifiers. Portugal was drawn with Ireland, Azerbaijan, Serbia, and Luxembourg. Obviously, the results against Serbia and Luxembourg have been the most recent. Let me go to the breakdown here of our opponents. And another feature I failed to mention is that, you know, I'm trying a little bit with the writing. The site gives me an opportunity to do that. So I've put in a few entries. Just, you know, take a look at those if you guys like. But yeah, that's given me an opportunity to do a little writing, which I have I've missed doing. But in terms of the draw, again, Serbia, Ireland, Luxembourg, and Azerbaijan. In terms of Serbia, they and Luxembourg, as I mentioned, are the two most recent our two most recent opponents. We had them both in Euro qualifying last year. Six matches against Serbia, 3 wins, 3 draws. The last meeting in Belgrade, a 4-2 victory for the Slesson. The Republic of Ireland, we've had 9 matches against Ireland, 4 wins, 2 draws, and 3 losses. We last met in a friendly in 2014 here in the United States in New Jersey, a 5-1 victory. In terms of Luxembourg, we qualified and we finished our qualifying and qualified for Euro 2020 in November of 2019, an away victory 2-0 at Luxembourg there. And then Azerbaijan, last time we faced them was 2013 in March, a 2-0 victory in Baku, 5 wins and 1 draw in 6 matches against Azerbaijan. So in terms of the draw, I think very favorable. I like the familiarity with Serbia and Luxembourg. The Republic of Ireland, always up and down in terms of qualifying for major tournaments. And then Azerbaijan should be no problem. I would expect nothing less than for us to win the group. But as Nathan mentions in the interview later on, nothing is easy, and it's ever easy for the Slesson. But it, just in terms on paper, this is a favorable group and a group that Portugal should win and qualify directly for the World Cup next year. In terms of the rosters, on March 16th, Fernando Sanchez named the following players to his 25-man roster for the upcoming qualifiers. In goal, Anthony Lopes, Rui Patricio, and Rui Silva. On defense, João Cancelo, Cedric Soares, Domingos Duarte, Pep, José Font, Ruben Dias, Rafael Guerreiro, and Nuno Mendes. In the midfield, Danilo Pereira, João Palhinha, Ruben Neves, João Moutinho, Bruno Fernandes, Renato Santos, and Sergio Oliveira. And up front, Bernardo Silva, Pedro Neto, Diogo Jota, Cristiano Ronaldo, Rafa Silva, João Félix, and André Silva. So let's first go with those who were named and then those who have been replaced already. Rui Patricio obviously has been replaced. He had that scary head injury while playing for Wolves against Liverpool about a week ago, I think maybe the day before the call-up. So yeah, it was the 15th. We're recording this portion of the podcast on Monday morning, but Rui Patricio was replaced by José Sá of Olympiacos. And then Pep picked up a knock on Saturday, so 2 days from this recording. And he has since been replaced by Pedro Neto of Sporting. So the replacements are there. Obviously, Pep was playing so well, had such a huge influence on Porto's advancement into the Champions League in that masterclass he had against Cristiano Ronaldo and Juventus. But he is out. And then Rui Patricio, they tried, they tried every way to do it, but the FPF would not clear him, and rightfully so. I think it was the right decision to. I mean, it's a head injury; you got to be careful with that. and given the quality of the opponents in the first three matches, I think you can go with Anthony Lopsch in theory, and we'll go and we'll get into that in just a minute too. But in terms of the roster, obviously it's a strong roster. The Slesson has an abundance of quality right now in all phases of the field. In terms of the defense, I was a little surprised by the Cedric Swartz inclusion. I was hoping for a return to the Slesson of Ricky P, Ricard Pereira. But Ricard Pereira had picked up a hamstring injury just before the weekend. The severity of that is not known at this time. He did miss the weekend action for Leicester City in the FA Cup. But I was hoping to see perhaps him come back in. He had been getting some consistent time with Leicester City following his recovery of his ACL injury. Also, Nelson Smith hasn't set the world on fire, but has been starting consistently for Wolves on the right hand side. So I would say it's questionable for Cedric Swadj to get the nod over those two. However, he has been playing a little bit he's been playing a lot for Arsenal on the left hand side, and that could be a factor for this Slesson, as Rafael Guerreiro called up by Fernand Sanch, however, has not played in his last four matches due to injury for Borussia Dortmund. And I would be hard-pressed to throw Noon Minj right into that starting left side if Rafael Guerreiro can't go. As of the recording of this podcast, Fernand Sanch has not, or the Federation, or Fernand Sanch for that matter, has not deemed Rafael Guerreiro unavailable for these matches. The sporting director for Borussia Dortmund was not thrilled that Guerreiro was called up, considering that he hasn't played in the last four matches. But Fernand Sanch decided to call him up anyway. As I mentioned, Cedric Swartz has played a little bit on the left-hand side for Arsenal this season. João Cancelo is interchangeable, but has been just unbelievable on the right-hand side for Manchester City this season. So I would expect him to man the right-hand side of the defense there. And then you have the unknown, which is Noon Minj. So very exciting for him, the 18-year-old from Sporting, to get his first call-up. I'd love to see him play a little bit against the likes of Azerbaijan or Luxembourg. I'd love to see him play in non-pressure situations, but given the opportunity right now and given the circumstances, he may be pressed to the starting lineup sooner rather than later. So we'll definitely monitor that in the days to come here, as we're just a couple of days from the first match against Azerbaijan in Italy, of all places, as the FPF had to make that decision as well with the COVID restrictions. And we'll talk COVID restrictions in a second here, but COVID restrictions have forced Portugal to play outside of Portugal for their first match against Azerbaijan. The Avalad was supposed to be hosting on the 24th, the first match for World Cup qualifying, but due to COVID restrictions, especially with players in the UK, which make up about normally half of the roster, the Federation had to make a decision that would best benefit them to get the top players in the team or on the team to these qualifiers, and that decision was made a couple of weeks ago to move the team or move the match to Italy. That is the lone quote unquote home match of these first three qualifiers. On the 24th, they take on Azerbaijan at home. The 27th is in Serbia in Belgrade, and then they play in Luxembourg on the 30th. So, a lot of moving pieces here, and we'll get to a little bit of that as well. But in the midfield, Daniel Pereira, he gets the call. Very excited to see João Palhinha. Again, Sporting has been rewarded here for their dominance right now in the league. Nuno Mendes obviously gets his debut call up, as does João Palhinha. We mentioned that Pedro Neto, he gets the call. Hasn't been playing a lot for Sporting, but does have some experience with the senior team in call-ups, in previous call-ups with Fernando Santos. So in the midfield, I'd love to see, and we talk, and I mentioned this in the interview with Nathan Motes. Sergio Oliveira has been unbelievable for Porto. His free kick to knock out Juventus in the second leg of the Champions League was a thing of beauty. Would not be surprised to see him get a starting nod. Although, João Moutinho, Bruno Fernandes, Ruben Neves in front of him, Daniel Pereira in front of him, just in terms of midfield, not so much positioning in the midfield, but it would be interesting to see if Fernando Santos rewards him in terms of form. And then up front, you have the one and only Cristiano Ronaldo. He'll be manning it up top. Was a little surprised to see Rafa Silva get the call, considering that we had been bringing up Trincão the last couple of call ups. Trincão was selected for the under 21s as they begin their play as well. So Rafa Silva did score a goal for Benfica on the weekend, but was a little surprising. Although I could see what he brings to the team here with the speed and the change of pace that he can bring off the bench. But up front, pretty standard there. Good to see Diogo Jota come back from injury, and good to see André Silva rewarded for his just unbelievable form in the Bundesliga as well. Would not be surprised to see him up top and starting for this Seleção solely based on form alone. So I mentioned the pandemic and the restrictions as of the recording, and I hate to say as of the recording all the time, but sports podcasts are like they're moments in time, and there's really nothing you could change once you stop recording and once you publish the podcast. But John Neves of PortugueseSoccer.com in the last couple of days has mentioned, and Nathan and I talked about it in the interview. There could be some restrictions placed on the players that are based in France in either the first two matches in qualifying. And those France-based players are Anthony Lopes, Danilo Pereira, Renat Sanches, and José Font. So if they're not available to go, you're already down William. He was not selected in the as a defensive midfielder in this go-around. If Danilo was not available for the first or even the first two matches, you have to then look at Ruben Neves and Sergio Oliveira in that defensive midfield role. With Pep out, you could be without José Font for one or two matches, and then you have the pairing of Ruben Dias and Domingos Duarte, Ruben Dias and Nuno Mendes, pairings that we're not familiar with. Renat Sanches, obviously, he's a off the bench kind of guy anyway. So, but you would be without perhaps four players when you're already down two from the original call up. So, in goal especially, you could see Rui Silva debut in games that matter for the Seleção. Hell, even José Sá in that case. There's a lot of question marks right now heading into these games as to who may be available due to the restrictions. So it'll be interesting to watch and to see exactly what happens there. But in terms of the actual schedule, we mentioned it's Azerbaijan to open, then Serbia, then Luxembourg. Even with all those restrictions, I think if the team was fully healthy and fully available, I think at a minimum, 7 points from 9 points would be what we would expect the Seleção to bring home. Never easy to go to Serbia, although we did put four goals at Serbia in European qualifying last winter. But I would expect at the very least 6 points. I think given the uncertainty, you get the win at against Azerbaijan, you get the win against Luxembourg, and you hopefully get a result against Serbia with the uncertainty of the roster right now. But I'm hoping at the very minimum 7 points. I would take 6 if there's a lot of roster influx. But would I take 9? Absolutely. And at full throttle, we should expect them to take 9. But we have to also be realistic and not always wear our Slesong colored glasses when projecting what's going on with this team. So that's a look at the roster. That's a look at the draw and the upcoming matches. We'll step aside real quick here for our interview with Nathan Motes. Nathan and I recorded the interview on Sunday prior to Pep being called off the team. So I apologize for that, really out of our control there. So I hope you enjoy the interview here with Nathan Motes right here on episode number 40 of the Slesong Podcast. So we welcome everybody back to the Slesong Podcast, episode number 40. It's great to be talking about the Slesong once again as we have 3 matches on the horizon, all 3 World Cup qualifying matches, as the Slesong is officially now on the road to Qatar. And to talk to us about not only the 3 matches, but the roster that Fran Sanchez called up for these 3 matches is our good friend Nathan Motes of Portugal.net. You can follow Nathan on Twitter at Nathan Motes. That's NathanMotz. Nathan, welcome back. And this being the first show of 2021, I guess, Happy New Year.
Yeah, thank you. It's great. It's been too long, almost, 4 months now since we've been able to talk about the Seleção. So, yeah, I'm really happy about it.
What does one do in a situation like that, where we have 4 months, there's no Seleção football? What do you do, Nathan? Like, what's do you go to the EPL? Do you go to to Italy? Do you go to Spain? Do you go to the Liga in Portugal? What is your main way of staying in touch with the players?
Yeah, great question. I'm a generalist, so I really peruse all the big leagues. And, luckily now, the way Portuguese football is developing, there are an abundance of talents all over Europe to consider, to evaluate. I wish I had more time, frankly, to write about a lot of those developments, but there are so many Portuguese interested journalists now that do that. There is an abundance of content, abundance of different angles you can take and looking at the players. So unlike in the past, I guess, where you'd just be without any discussion about Portugal until the next, qualifier or friendly. Now there's almost too many different things to keep you occupied. And so I'm sure we'll talk about some of that here in just a few minutes.
For sure. Obviously, we got you on here to preview the matches and to go over the roster as was called by Fernand Sanch earlier this past week. But let me get your thoughts on the actual group. This is the first show that we've had since the group was announced. Of course, Portugal has their first 3 matches against Azerbaijan, Serbia, and Luxembourg. We also have Ireland in the group. What did you think of the initial, what are your initial thoughts of the group and how it shapes up for Portugal?
It's a good draw, but as we all know, every one of us who watches Portugal over the years, it doesn't really seem to matter in qualifying exactly what the quality of the opponent is. We normally make things difficult, and I can kind of see at least one or two scenarios, even in this group, where things could get a little bit difficult. And again, we'll talk about that in the next few minutes. But this week with the big Serbia match coming up in Belgrade, that's a big one. And then we'll finish qualifying in November of this year against that same opponent in Portugal. I really think they're going to be our main competition for the top qualifying berth in this group. But it's all things considered manageable. But we say that, I feel like, every time and something happens. So let's just hope that the players can put together a really strong campaign that is befitting their considerable quality.
We're talking with Nathan Motes here of Portugal.net as we are previewing the World Cup qualifying matches for the Seleção coming up here in the next couple of days, kicking off on the 24th against Azerbaijan. In Italy, of all places, and we'll get to that in just a few moments, too. But So that we've talked a little bit about the group. Obviously, we'll get into the matches specifically, but the roster was announced earlier this week. Your initial thoughts of what was called and what the situation currently is, as of the taping of this interview, there are a couple of question marks in terms of some of the players that Fanon Sunch has called up due to some injury concerns, either that existed or has come about in the last couple of days. But overall, in terms of what you thought of the roster call up.
Yeah, this is a very strong squad. We knew it would be. Most of the usual or the normal candidates we see in the squad. There's some new faces as well, which I think were well-deserved. Joao Paiña, great to see another option, a defensive midfield. Very sad about William. I tweeted about that, actually, when I didn't see his name listed on the roster. So just a consequence of the injuries and loss of form there. And we'll come back to that, I'm sure. But Cedric, good to see him back. I do think that one was a little bit less expected. Many might have thought that Nelson Semedo would be the next call up there, but I no qualms really. I don't think Nelson's been that great this season, in my opinion. Otherwise, I really like the combination of striker talent that we have: Neto, Andre Silva. Diogo Jota back from injury for Liverpool and doing pretty well. So that's good. Great talent in midfield. It's a strong squad. It's just, again, a matter of how are we going to put all these pieces together and make a coherent team that presents a real formidable challenge for our opponents.
Yeah. And as I mentioned prior to the question here, the three highlights in terms of who Fernando Sanchez called up. That are either in question or have been already replaced are the following. Obviously, Portugal's number one goalkeeper, Rui Patricio, he had that very scary injury in Wolves' last match against Liverpool, where about 10 minutes left to go in regulation in regular time, he collided with a teammate and suffered a head injury. He was stretchered off. And he has since been replaced by José Sá, who gets his return to the Seleção, playing out at Olympiacos. The other two question marks are on the defensive end. One at left back, where Rafael Guerreiro, he's missed the last four matches for Borussia Dortmund. And Pep just picked up a knock yesterday. We're recording this on Sunday. He picked up a knock yesterday. Was subbed out about 24, 25 minutes out or from the start of the match. He was replaced by Diogo Leite. So there are two possible replacements if Fernando Sanches wants to go there in naming some other folks. But right there you have Rui Patricio, Rafael Guerreiro, and Pep, three regular starters out. Anthony Lopes would be the likely replacement for Rui Patricio, but as both you and I have been researching, Nathan, because of these COVID restrictions, players from France or who are playing from in France for the Seleção, and that would be Anthony Lopes, Renat Sanches, José Font, and Danilo, there may be a delay in them contributing to the Seleção in these upcoming matches. So with an injured Rui Patricio, with a possible unavailable Anthony Lopes, you now are going to Rui Silva possibly for maybe the first or even the first two matches. So there is a lot of uncertainty going on right now with the Seleção. Even though the strength of the squad is there, the availability right now is definitely a question mark.
Absolutely, and there's going to be a lot of pressure on some of the stalwarts in this team, you know, the veterans, to perform above even their usual capabilities for that reason, to tie together some of these newer players who may have to step in unexpectedly because of the COVID restrictions. So, you know, players in midfield like possibly Joao Moutinho, Bruno Fernandes are going to have to really outperform themselves and be able to, you know, make do with, you know, whichever supporting cast they have around them. You know, there we still have the most important pieces, I feel, on this team. That's the good news. But it does hurt our depth a little bit. And as we'll talk about, you know, there's a very tight calendar we have coming up. And so there's going to be some difficulties I think these players are going to face with having to find and build chemistry with each other very quickly.
Yeah, and you know we talk about an opportunity here as well for some players, and you know the name that's been thrown about for the last I would say 6 to 12 months, especially on the left hand side of the field, is Nun Minj, the 18-year-old sensation from Sporting. With something with Gahairu maybe not being available, this could be an opportunity for him, depending on if Gahairu is replaced on the roster. Obviously, we have João Cancelo, who can play both the left and right, but he's been playing on the right side predominantly for Man City this season, and he's been doing an outstanding job there. You mentioned Nelson Smith. This could be an opportunity for him to get called back up and have the flexibility of João Cancelo play on the left with either Cedric or Nelson Smith playing on the right. But this is an opportunity perhaps for players like Nun Minj, for João Palhinha, for even André Silva, who's been on fire in the Bundesliga. But just there's an opportunity here, especially when not only with the restrictions of the players that may not be available, but also you have a game on the 24th, the 27th, and the 30th. It's a short window and a short time to rest. This is an opportunity for players perhaps to not only take advantage of the opportunity presented to them because of injury and restriction, but also to establish themselves for call-ups going forward.
Yeah, I agree. I especially like it in the case of giving us an opportunity to find a better backup for Rafael Guerreiro, who we all know is extremely talented but prone to injury. You know, now with Mario Rui of Napoli not in the picture, we have the opportunity to look at an entirely different player in Nuno Mendes that, at his age, could become a stalwart for, over a decade for this team, if that's his future. And so I really like that it kind of forces Fernando Santos to make a decision there. I also like that with some of these player unavailabilities coming to fruition, we may be looking at a lot of changes in formation that would not have come about otherwise. And there's been a lot of talk, and I wrote an article recently about the need to at least attempt some version of a three-man back line to take advantage of some of the unique talents that we have. This may be an opportunity for Santos to try to implement some of those tactics, just because he doesn't have the usual cadre of players to use anyway. So he needs to be a little bit more creative with who he does have. And I think that may force some tactical innovations as well. That's how these things come about sometimes. In fact, managers may not want to change their tactics until they have to. And I look at it that way too. So we'll get to integrate some new players, and we'll get to put them in different configurations that maybe we haven't seen before. So I'm excited about that.
In a three-man backfield, who would you ideally want to see back there if everyone's healthy? Who would you want to see back in the back three for the Slisson?
If everyone was fit, it would be Pep, Ruben Dias, and Jose Font. I would put Ruben Dias closer to Rafael Guerreiro to assist him defensively, and put João Cancelo opposite Guerreiro on the right, and just let him do exactly what he does for Manchester City. And that's how I would attempt that in the beginning. Of course, we've never seen any indication that Fernando Santos is interested in that type of formation. Sure. But as I wrote for Portugal a few weeks ago, the way our players are developing in Europe, I just don't know how reasonable it is for him to avoid that option, which seems almost inevitable. We have such great marauding fullbacks. And I would even say Nuno Mendes is in that mold as well for Sporting. So I think it's inevitable to get the best out of these players. We're going to have to rethink our tactics and looking at the group that we're facing, not in qualifying, but in the Euros in the summer. We have to pull out all the stops and be ready to implement a more aggressive strategy if Plan A fails. That's just my opinion on that, but I think we're going to need it.
you know, a little bit of thinking outside the box, not so much in terms of formation, but just in terms of calling up. Based, and this is a discussion I've had with multiple people leading up to the recording of the of this podcast and this interview. But in terms of form, and not so much in terms of their Slesong experience, I would be hard pressed to see anyone in the midfield, in the middle of the midfield, I should say, deserve a starting spot more so than Sergio Oliveira of Porto and the debutant Palinha. Obviously, there's not a lot of there's no history of them playing with the Slesong together in that midfield. Obviously, you have to balance the debutants with the experience and established players. But just in terms of establishing themselves as options for that midfield, especially defensively, with William out and with Danilo maybe not being able to play. Obviously, Ruben Neves is still playing trade at Wolves and has been having a decent season, but he's playing every day, as is João Moutinho. But would I be surprised? Yes, I would. But I think it would be merited if you saw a starting 11 that included Sergio Oliveira and João Palhinha. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I can live with that 100%. I think Sergio in particular, I'll just focus on him just for a second. Just taking the two matches against Juventus in the Champions League alone as data. And those are not by any means the only matches in which he's performed well this season. But those two matches, I think, epitomize the type of do-everything type player that Fernan Santos likes. Frankly, he can track back and work hard defensively. He's got a great engine. He's got a wicked free kick on him. I mean, the guy can strike a dead ball in a way that Ronaldo would surely applaud, you know. And so I think he's got a lot of tools, you know, in one player. He's 28, so he's a little bit older, maybe a late bloomer, but he has some limited experiences with the squad, 7 caps, and he's been called up quite a few times over the course of his career, even if he hasn't seen the pitch. So I actually like him to at least make an impact as a substitute in these next few games, depending on exactly who's available, especially though if Danilo is out. I think Fernan Santos is going to look for a little bit more of a workman type player in midfield, and I would give him a better opportunity. João Palhinha, on the other hand, I'll confess I haven't been able to watch him play as much, but just looking at the options that we have at defensive midfield alone, you have to think he's going to have a chance, because when I look at our defensive midfielders, if Danilo isn't there, all we have is Ruben Neves. And I'll just say one thing about Ruben. I love Ruben, but you have to have very specific players around him to get the best out of him. I just don't think Ruben's quite there holistically as a defensive midfielder. You have to pair him in midfield with different types of players, players that frankly tie together defense with the attack a little bit better. I think Ruben is the type that will launch counterattacks with those real incisive long balls over the defense. So you could pair him real well with a forward like Diogo Jota, for example. But if you don't play Jota and you don't have good, intricate passers in midfield next to him, Ruben, in my opinion, is not the right choice. So I think João Palhinha is going to have an opportunity for this team right off the bat. And that's a lot of pressure on him. But like you said earlier, tremendous opportunity.
Yeah, in talking about Ruben Neves, the one thing that, you know, and he was one of the few players who were called up the last call-ups in November that didn't see a single minute of action. And I don't know if that's just coincidence or not, but the one thing I do remember when playing that two defensive midfielder strategy that Fernan Sanchez has been playing. You saw that there was stability when it was Danilo and William in the middle of that pitch. When Ruben Neves was asked to start, you saw that there were a few, and I'm just talking more on the defensive side of things, because yeah, I think he's much more of an offensive option in the middle of the field than he is defensive. But you just saw gaps open up in the middle of the field when he was playing. And I'm thinking in the early parts of the European or the Euro qualifying, where he was asked to, or he was in the starting lineup, and just the middle of the field was just more open than it should have been.
I totally agree on that. I mean, I think everyone kind of saw it. I remember the discussions being had after those matches, and the general feeling was that Ruben and Danilo were not the same thing as William and Danilo. And that's kind of what I think Fernand Santos noticed as well, and why we haven't seen a lot of Ruben. He's been in the squad, but I don't think he's the guy. I think he's going to have to develop a lot of other parts of his game. You know, he's only 24 years old, so he's got a chance, obviously, to do that. But I don't see him certainly not in a lone defensive midfield capacity, but even paired up with Danilo, there's something off there. I think it's just a style of play conflict that is going to have to be worked out. So that's why I say, you know, Joel Palhinha is going to have an opportunity right off the bat.
We're talking with Nathan Motes here on episode number 40 of the Seleção podcast. So glad for us to be back talking Portuguese national team soccer, and we thank you guys for tuning in once again as we are previewing the three matches here in World Cup qualifying and looking at the roster. In the middle of looking at the roster right now, we're working our way through the field here. We've talked goalkeeping, we've talked the defense, we've talked a little bit of the midfield. Before we get all the way up front, I think there's two players in the attack that didn't have a great 2020 in terms of the national team. On the club side, I think Bruno Fernandes has continued his stellar play ever since his huge move to Manchester United. And, you know, he is week in and week out one of their best, if not their best player for United. Bernard Silva, on the other hand, did not have a great year in 2020 overall. I think he lacked form in both club and country, but playing much better this season for City. And I think those two are probably outside of Ronaldo, obviously on the offensive side here. But we need to see the translation of their club football to their Seleção football, and if that's something that can you know, find itself present in 2021 and going forward, I think the Seleção puts themselves in a huge positive opportunity to make some noise in the Euros this summer, in qualifying for the World Cup, and then if it goes all the way through to the end of 2022, obviously they're contenders for the World Cup as well. But how important do you think is Bernard and Bruno Fernandes time to step up? How important is that for the Seleção going forward?
Very. You know, these guys, especially Bernardo Silva, he's practically the old man in midfield now, aside from João Moutinho, who is probably not going to be the starter going forward. He will likely come in off the bench. But João Moutinho, at 34 years old and with 129 caps, is likely going to be more of a leader from a squad, like a running out the squad type of thing. But Bernardo Silva still has all the tools to be, you know, what Deco, for example, was to the Seleção or Rui Costa. And so I think we're still wanting to see him emerge in that capacity. Part of that, a lot of people would argue, is the way he's played in this squad. And I would agree, where he's fielded greatly affects his effectiveness. And maybe this a similar case for Bruno Fernandes, who I think even more than Bernardo Silva is still trying to find, you know, his ideal place in this squad. But those two, I think, are going to be on the pitch in some capacity. I agree with you. They're probably going to start. We don't know where they're going to be or who's going to be alongside them, but they're going to be the ones around which Fernand Santos is going to try to build the center of this midfield and looking forward into attack. And so they're going to have to be in top form. And when they are, I think we're going to be very difficult to beat. They give us different things. Bernardo is great in possession. He's a wonderful passer. He's the type of player who can control a midfield and kind of keep things composed and which is really why I miss William, because I think the two of them together in midfield are even more formidable. But then you have Bruno, and in matches in which we need some innovation, we need some risk-taking, he has that in spades. He can hit the ball from range. He's not afraid to make risky passes. And so we have different kind of skill sets that you can look at as being hopefully complementary when we put them on a pitch together. And so those two are essential for me. So I'm hoping to see them at their best this week.
And from what I read on Twitter, Bruno Fernandes very good at taking penalties. That's the hubbub.
Yeah. The people do enjoy talking about that, don't they? You know, I don't know what it is with that. You know, people like to pick on those who are good at penalties. I've never understood it. But, you know, as long as he's hitting the back of the net, that's confidence building. And I'm happy to see it.
I'm very happy to see that Andre Silva is back in the fold, not because, you know, I feel that he was a missing piece or anything, but I'm just glad to see that he's earned his way back, and he's just playing so well since his move to Frankfurt. And honestly, since football came back from the pandemic, he's been one of the best players, best strikers in Europe in terms of goal scoring. I love seeing him back. It's good to see Diogo Jota come back from injury. I know that he had been out for a little around two and a half months following a knee injury that he suffered late in 2020. You see Pedro Neto, obviously just an explosive player, still so young at 20 years old. João Félix gets his another call up. I thought Rafa Silva with the other options there, I wouldn't say it's a curious decision. I just wouldn't have gone there. I know that the under 21 manager Rui Jorge called up Trincão. Trincão had been getting some call ups on the senior squad, but he was called up for the under 21. But what do you think? And we'll get to Ronaldo at the in the next question here. But what do you think of the attacking options outside of Ronaldo for Fernand Sanchez and this Lesson?
Yeah, a lot of different capabilities here, different skills. I would agree. Just starting with Rafa Silva, a little bit curious. Maybe why he's in the squad. The only thing I can think of is, you know, looking at raw pace and just the way he plays being so direct. And remember when Rafa Silva is in for the Seleção, he's played almost exclusively on the wing in some variant of a 4-3-3. And so I think that may be what his utility in this squad will be if he even sees the pitch. You could argue, well, yeah, but we have Pedro Neto to do that job. We also have Diogo Jota. Why not add Trincão, who's been in the squad, and you know, as a very young option? But I'm not as bent out of shape about that as some. I think he had some experience there, 18 caps. He's 27, a little more mature. So, you know, really looking at the other options around him, I don't even know that he'll play.
Nathan, you know what? And to be fair, if you recall the final of the Nations League in 2019. Portugal was up 1-0, and I think maybe 25. I mean, they had just scored. Gonçalo Guedes had just scored the goal. Maybe 5 minutes later, Fernando Sanches makes a substitution, and everybody thinks that it's probably going to be a defensive substitution, and it was actually Rafa Silva. I don't recall who it was for. It could have been for Gonçalo Guedes, but that choice was, I think, one of the better choices that that Fernando Sanches made in that game, because of what Rafa Silva brings and what you've talked about, his pace, his ability to continue an attack if need be, you know, you're able to change tactics with him if you want to go in a faster way, much like you can do with Pedro Neto and with Diogo Jota. But given that they're going with more midfielders than they are attackers in this go around, you know, he does bring a change of pace, and he's a capable player. He's never set the world on fire playing for the Seleção, and honestly playing for anyone really, but he's a solid player. He actually has scored today for Benfica in their match against Braga. But, I don't think it's an undeserved call up. Just like I said, it's more curious considering that, the other options that have been chosen before, but, you know, I just think that he just brings something that maybe some others don't.
Yeah, and as far as Trincão and players like Rafael Leão, for example, I'm okay with them dropping down to under 21s to build their confidence and to help that squad, you know, make their own deep tournament run. You know, I'm not a fan necessarily of all of the attempts we have to make these really young players you know, play at their peak potential right now. I think it's okay if we try to develop them a little bit. And as you mentioned, you know, Rafa Silva, it's not as if he hasn't helped his squad. I love that you mentioned the Nations League final, because he basically, when he came on, he terrorized the Netherlands and wouldn't let him come back into the match.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, he has his utility in the squad. And you know, looking at the rest of the players, you can't leave Pedro Neto out. The guy's been sensational, even when he doesn't score or assist goals for Wolverhampton. Every match I've seen him play, just classic wing play from this kid. And we need that type of wide option, that wide threat. You know, Diogo Jota is good on the wing as well, but he really likes to come inside, you know, and kind of cut through the channel and get on the end of long balls over the top of defense. He's a different type of player. And so Pedro Neto, you need that wide man getting to the byline, delivering crosses like he can. And then really, you know, going back to Andre Silva, I actually think Andre Silva's going to start. I mean, the guy is just in incredible form right now. I watched him play a few weeks ago, and in the match that I watched, he scored, of course, as he normally does. But before he scored his goal, his link-up play, his ability to work off the other attacking midfielders and create chances was really improved. I was so impressed with his movement. Some of the things about his play that were lacking when he was younger, they're there now. And I think if you put that Andre Silva with Ronaldo, that's going to be a huge problem for any defense that attempts to contain them. So I like him to start.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think solely based on form, I think he's earned the right to get back into the starting 11. A name that you just mentioned, obviously it's the biggest name and one that we were leading up to here is Cristiano Ronaldo. It has not been a great couple of weeks for CR7 in terms of club football. Getting bounced out by Porto in the round of 16 while playing for Juventus, not the best way to bring fans back to that stadium for the first game here against Azerbaijan. But he seems to me, and maybe it's wishful thinking here, but he seems to now, with this, you know, this hiccup with Juve, his focus, I think, is solely going to be on, his play with the national team in putting the national team in obviously a great position to qualify for the World Cup, in a position to go deep in the Euros and in the defense of the European Championship. But he is what, 35, right around 34, 35.
36.
See, I thought he was younger. He's 36. Could we see a more determined Ronaldo than we've seen in the last few years? Given he's not deaf to the naysayers. He knows what is being said about him. Could we see a more determined, not a better Ronaldo, but a more determined Ronaldo in these qualifiers for the Selecao?
Well, I don't know if I want to see a more determined Ronaldo. I mean, the guy is—he's never lacked conviction, passion, and frankly, for, you know, when it comes to his commitment to Portugal, is, you know, a lot of people have questioned that over the years. I don't know if that's ever been lacking. I really feel like Ronaldo has always been more devoted to Portugal than his club sides. Having said that, I do agree that normally what we see happen with Ronaldo is anytime there's some type of controversy or criticism directed at him for any reason, whether it's for his personal life or for his form, we do normally see a version of Ronaldo come out that is a lot more menacing, a lot more difficult to handle for opposition defenses, a lot more focused on what he needs to do, and a lot more helpful for the side. And so I am one of those hoping that we are going to see that version of Ronaldo, because we are going to need it in a short week, three matches coming up in, you know, what, a week, 8 days, 9 days, something like that. I mean, it's not a lot of time to have an impact, and we really need him and his mind laser focused on what he needs to do. And I think that's what we're going to see from him, just like we always do. His role as a leader in particular is going to be huge in getting this squad mentally focused on their task to inspire these players, the young players that are coming in that have never, some of whom have never played. You know, I think he's going to be important in that way too. So Ronaldo is as important as ever, whether he scores goals or not. You know, I still think he's fundamentally important to this squad, and that's not going to change until he retires.
And we want to thank Nathan Motes for joining us here on episode number 40 of the Selecion podcast. A reminder to follow him on Twitter at Nathan Motes. Find all his wonderful work that he does for Portugal.net as well. We had to end the interview there a bit prematurely. A little technical difficulty on both our ends there, but hopefully you guys enjoyed the conversation that Nathan and I had as we previewed or reviewed the roster in the wake of these three matches coming up for World Cup qualifying. Excuse me, for the Selecion this week. So that is it for the senior side. I wanted to give you guys an update too on the under-21s as the Euros for the under-21s. Begin this week as well. Again, pandemic. It's something that we're going to hear for the foreseeable here until we get at least the schedule back on a regular basis here. But so the under-21 European Championships begin group stage wise this week for the Selecion. It's going to be on March the 25th. Following the three matches, the knockout stage would then take place later in the spring, I believe in May. Yeah, so the end of May, and then end with the semifinals on June 3rd, and then the final on June the 6th. But the Selecion was drawn with Croatia, England, and Switzerland. Rui Jorge's team begin their group play in Group D against Croatia on March the 25th. They then take on England on March the 28th. And then the final group match is against Switzerland on March the 31st. So you'll have the Selecion, the 24th, or the senior team, I should say, the 24th, 27th, and the 30th. You'll then have the under-21s on the 25th, the 28th, and the 31st. So there is plenty of Selecion soccer for you in the next week or so. The under-21 championship is a joint effort hosted by Hungary and Slovenia. The under-21 roster looks as or is as follows. Goalkeepers Gil Costa, João Virginia, and Luiz Maximiano. The defenders Diogo Leite, Diogo Queiroz, Diogo Dalot, Pedro Pereira, Terry Correia, Thiago Diallo, Tomás Tavares. Those are the defenders in the midfield. Daniel Bragança, Fábio Vieira, Felipe Soares, Florentino Luiz, Jetson Fernandes, Pedro Gonçalves, and Vitor Ferreira. And up front, Dani Mota, Trincão, Francisco Conceição, João Felipe, Rafael Leão, and Thiago Tomás. There were two replacements named. Jota and Rafael Leão were not able to make the team or to contribute to the team because they had respective injuries on their clubs. Brought in were João Mário of Porto and Gonçalo Ramos of Benfica. But again, Rui Jorge with a very strong squad. Top two in the group get to the quarterfinals, and it's a four-group, 16-team tournament. Spain are the defending under-21 champions, but all the best and muito boa sorte to Rui Jorge and our under-21s as we try to get another trophy in that trophy case in Portugal. A great. Pipeline of talent for the senior team in the foreseeable future, as it's another very strong squad for the under-21s. As for the rest of 2021 for the senior squad, right now there are 15 scheduled matches for the national team in 2021. So it is a jam-packed schedule for Fenerbahce and Portugal. Obviously, the first three are the qualifiers that we've talked about: March 24th against Azerbaijan, March 27th against Serbia, and then March the 30th against Luxembourg. There is a break until June. June obviously is Euro 2020 time as we defend our title there. We open up with two friendlies prior to Euro 2020, June the 4th, a match against Spain in Spain. And then on June the 9th, Portugal will host Israel in Portugal at a location yet to be determined as of this podcast, I believe. And then June the 15th, everything begins in earnest. The group play begins for the Slesson. June 15 against Hungary in Budapest. June 19 against Germany in Munich. And then back in Budapest on June the 23rd to close out group play against France. Not an easy group at all. So the Slesson will have its work cut out for them there to get out of their group at Euro 2020. And then World Cup qualifying again starts up in September. They have three matches on September the 1st, their first crack at Ireland. That game will be in Portugal. They have two matches against Qatar as well. They're quote-unquote friendlies, but it's almost like Qatar is now quote-unquote in the group. But it's just part of the international schedule there. They'll take on Qatar on September the 4th. And then on September the 7th, the Slesson will travel to Azerbaijan. In October, it's the second friendly against Qatar, that on October the 9th. October 12th at home against Luxembourg. And then they finish in November, does the Slesson, in Ireland on November the 11th. And then they finish at home hosting Serbia on November the 14th. So a very, very busy 2021 for the Slesson, but would we really have it any other way? I think more Slesson matches the better for us fans. And then hopefully after the 2021 schedule, we kind of get back to normal in terms of, you know, the pandemic truncating everything. I am a little not confused, but just curious as to why every single World Cup qualifying match for a World Cup that doesn't take place until the winter needs to be take place in 2021. Normally when a World Cup qualifying campaign occurs, it's like, when it ends and then the draw happens, the tournament itself is then like, you know, 6-7 months later. But, you know, by the time the Slesson play their last World Cup qualifier, the World Cup doesn't take place for another calendar year. So because of that, and with not a lot of meaningful games happening in 2022 up until the World Cup, I could have seen these spread out a little bit more, but, you know, be that as it may, obviously we'll get a lot of friendlies in 2022 leading up to the World Cup, but just a little food for thought. I mean, I just think it's crazy, especially during this time, to have three international matches in a week span, given that you could have pushed them out ideally into the early parts of 2022. But that's just my little soapbox for that. So that is the fixture outlook for 2021 for the Slesson. The last thing I want to leave you guys with before we leave, and I can't thank you guys enough for listening and coming back to us here on the Slesson podcast, but just a great moment I want to leave you with. So if you haven't seen it yet, there was a great moment at the end of Sporting's game this past weekend where a 16-year-old Dario Isugu made his debut just a few days after signing his first professional senior contract. And, he broke down at the end there. He came on late in the game, and his teammates just everywhere around him, hugging him, embracing him, letting him know how happy they were for him. I just thought it was a great moment. And it was all over social media. The kid is, who knows how good this kid is going to be. But for this moment, for him to have this moment, You know, honestly, and I don't like to make social statements or political statements, but in this day and age, in where we're at, with race and with just with everyone being so divisive, not everyone, I shouldn't say, but there's a lot of divisiveness. I will rephrase there, but just seeing that young man being embraced by his teammates and being able to enjoy that moment, a moment that he and his family will never forget. I just thought it was a beautiful thing to witness. And it's the beautiful part of sport that I embraced, and I hope everyone embraced as well in watching that video. So parabéns to Dario. All the best to you, young man, and hopefully we see more of you and more of that in the days and years to come in the game of football and in the world, actually. So again, soapbox there, over. My thanks to Nathan Motes for coming on episode number 40 here of the Slesson podcast to join us in kicking off our coverage of a World Cup qualifying, as the Slesson, they are officially on the road to Qatar to try to get to Qatar and win a much needed and a much anticipated World Cup. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great to win the World Cup? I mean, yeah, it's the understatement of 2021, obviously, but they are on the road, beginning with Azerbaijan, Serbia, and Luxembourg. All the best to Fernan Sanchin and our beloved Slesson as they begin qualifying there. Again, follow us on Twitter and on Instagram at Slesson Pod, facebook.com/SlessonPod, the Facebook page. Like that and share that with your friends. SlessonPod.com is we've revamped it. We love it. I hope you guys like it too. Would love your feedback on it. Again, email us SlessonPod@gmail.com. You could do that through the website. Again, there's a voicemail feature on the website as well. We'd love to hear from you if you want to contact us there. We'd love to share some of those on the site or on the pod in future episodes. And again, subscribe, like, rate, review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Google Podcasts, whatever they're calling themselves these days, any of the podcasting platforms that you are enjoying this show on. Go ahead and give us all your support as much as you possibly can there. My name is Danny Pinto. I have been your host of the Slesson Podcast, a proud partner of Portugal.net. World Cup qualifying, baby. So with that, Força Portugal!